It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Summer sleepaway camp is an age-old tradition in the United States. According to the American Camp Association, there are about 7,000 overnight camps in the U.S. And of course, there are dozens of overnight camps in Iowa, catering to different interests and different needs. This hour, we're going to talk about the experience of going to camp. Why it's so powerful for so many. To explore that experience, we're going to focus on just one camp this hour. But no matter what camp you've been involved with, we want to hear from you. What did you gain from your camp experience? How about your kids? Maybe you had a negative camp experience. We'd love to hear that as well. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And the camp we're spending the hour with is Camp Wapsie, a YMCA camp in eastern Iowa. It's affiliated with Cedar Rapids YMCA, celebrating 100 years of camp this summer. And with me is Camp Director Drew Demery. Hello, Drew.
Hi, Charity.
And you just finished camp yesterday, right?
A mere 12 hours ago.
So the kids went home, you cleaned up, and
yep,
you're here
kids
with us
went home,
today.
Staff went home, cleaned up a bit, went home, took a real shower.
Nice.
Yep, and here we are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Camp Wapsie. We know it's 100 years old. If you have any have noticed anything about Camp Wapsie all summer, you know that Camp Wapsie is 100 years old because that's been shouted from the mountaintops.
Yes, it has.
But tell me a little bit about the history of camp.
Yeah, well, camp's been around for 100 years. It's always been a Y camp. We've changed location once, though, in the early 50s. We're located up near Central City, just off the Wapsipinicon River. And that's where we get our name. We're a Y camp, so our values are caring, honesty, respect, and responsibility. And camp really started with Chuck Philippi. He was a volunteer with the YMCA of Cedar Rapids, and he decided to take a canoe trip down the Wapsie River with a group of young men. And that's how camp got started 100 years ago, was just reconnecting with nature and their values.
And given in any given summer these days, how many kids come to Camp Wapsie?
Wow. This was a great summer for us. It was a record-setting summer for us. So we had 2,050 children come to us this summer. We're open year-round as well, where we serve outdoor education for some of the local schools. Church groups will come out, family reunions. So there's always something going on at Wapsie.
How many cabins?
Oh, we've got 12 cabins and then a couple other living units like our teepee village.
That's for the little kids.
Yes. Our newly renovated teepee village was quite the project this spring. We had a lot of fun with it. We've also got some platform tents for our more adventurous ranger program, a lot of outdoor living skills there. And just a couple of years ago, we were able to wrap up a couple of new cabins for our adventure trip programs. So we've got a lot going on out at camp.
And when kids come to camp, do you see, let's say, more girls than boys? Is there a difference in who signs up for camp?
No, there really isn't anymore. A few years ago, we were seeing the trend of a few more female campers to male. We're 50-50 anymore. We've got a lot of kids that want to come out and experience the outdoors with us.
And how about, I know the age range. Basically, you've got, 6-year-olds
yep.
coming to camp through high school, and of course your camp counselors can be counselors toward the end of high school and in college, so there's a pretty big range there. But what's the core? What's the main age group?
Yeah, it's 10, 11, 12-year-old children, and they're a great group of kids to work with. They really are adventurous. They are resilient, and they're really open to the experience that we're hoping to provide.
Well, one of the things we did this summer is we asked two of your camp counselors, Maxwell Meyer and Sammy Thurm from Iowa City, to keep an audio diary of their week at camp. And so let's listen to a little bit of that, and we'll let them introduce themselves.
So my name is Sammy. I am going to be a second year at the University of Iowa, where I'm studying psychology and criminology. A little bit about my Wapsie background. I was a camper for 3 years, and after that I was selected for the leader in training program my fourth summer, and then the counselor in training program the summer after for my fifth summer. And then after my fifth summer, I applied to be a counselor, and now I've been on staff for 3 years. So I'm at the senior counselor level, which entails having only one cabin for the full summer instead of rotating between the different cabins.
Okay, this is Max. I am signing in from the teepee village. It is just about midnight. We just put the kids to bed a few hours ago, right after our big rowdy campfire. It is Monday night, the second night here in the teepee village on this week of camp. So, as I said, my name is Maxwell. I have been coming to camp for about 12 years now. I'm 18. I started coming to camp when I was 6 years old, and I was a camper in the Blue Teepee. And now I am on my second year as a counselor out here, and for 3 weeks this summer, I am the junior counselor in the Green Teepee, which is the other boys' teepee.
So my girls are 14 to 15 years old. They're the oldest girls on camp, and that means that it is always an exciting journey with them because they are so intelligent now and intuitive and so smart and so excited to be at camp. And so it is always a really, really refreshing time with kids that are aspiring to be counselors someday, and they're coming here for their potential last summer as a camper. And today I really, really felt the vibe that these girls are here because they are ready to take that next step next year and potentially apply for the leader and training program. And that was very exciting for me. The kids arrived today and I immediately noticed in the group that we had a mixture of personalities. We have a girl that is super extroverted. She brightens up the room. The other girls are drawn to her, and I think it's going to be amazing having her in the cabin as a leader. And we also have a few girls that are a little more shy and a little more reserved, and that is very normal for the first day of camp. One thing that I always look for is when we do have one extroverted or multiple extroverted girls that really, really bring the life to the cabin, is to make sure that those other girls don't get overlooked and that those other girls are being included and that they also feel like they can share their thoughts and have a voice in the cabin. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on throughout the week. But today was really fun and interesting because we spent most of the day doing some expectations for what the week was going to look like, what they were looking for in a positive and fun week from us and from each other. We played some get-to-know-you games, such as Connection, where they all stand in a big line and they try to find something in common with each other. And once they do, they can link arms with each other. And that was super fun. We do some name games, just some general rules about respect and treating our cabin mates with kindness. And those parts of the day were absolutely wonderful. They're so respectful. They listened so well. And I think we got through them without any difficulties. One thing that's kind of hard on Sundays, and one thing that was hard today, is just really giving them that sense of they are safe and they're comfortable at camp. And it's hard as a camper, I think, to feel that like immediate safety, emotionally, physically, however you want to put it, because they're so used to being in the care of their parents and at home. And so it's always hard to really give them that idea that we are always there for them, their cabin's there for them, and that they are going to have a great week and that they are loved and supported. And so that's always a challenge, and I really want to make sure that they can feel that way starting tomorrow. And just seeing my cabin as a whole, I can tell that they are a very positive group, a group that really wants to be here. I'm not sensing a lot of homesickness, which is sometimes present on Sunday night. I'm not sensing like any tension between any of the girls, which sometimes happens early on as well. I can just see that this week is going to be really fun for them and that they're all really excited.
So, I love the Teepee Village. I think that the Teepee Village is an amazing place for kids to get that first taste of camp. And there's a reason why so many of our returning staff members who have been here forever all started out as Teepee Villagers. It can really be a make-or-break experience the first time doing something, but consistently the Teepee Village is one of those make experiences where it turns out. It is organized chaos, it is the craziest thing that you have ever seen, and it tests every single aspect of your personality, your ability to get organized, your ability to get enthusiastic, your ability to get down on your knee and counsel a kid to get them to stop crying, to connect on an emotional level. But in the same sense that it's challenging, the village is also extremely rewarding for counselors and kids alike. And it's for that reason why it is my favorite place on camp.
We've been hearing from WAPSE camp counselors, Maxwell Meyer and Sammy Thurm. They're both from Iowa City, and we asked them to keep an audio diary of their week at camp. So we're going to hear more from them later on. With me is summer camp director Drew Demery. We'd also love to hear from you this hour with your thoughts about camp, your camp experiences, not just at WAPSE, but any camp you have experience with. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And Drew, it was really interesting to listen to Sammy talk about creating those expectations on day one. And WAPSE's kind of your old-fashioned, fun summer camp. So
yes,
you have
it is.
A lot of activities, a lot of campfires, a lot of singing, a lot of climbing and stuff going on throughout the week. You mentioned your core values, respect, responsibility, caring, and honesty. But how do you set that tone at camp?
Well, it all starts with our staff. We've got the best counseling crew in the whole world. They're amazing. And I'm here to tell you that Sammy and Max are not anomalies. All of our staff look for those moments to connect with kids. From the second that kids get there, we put campers first. That's our motto at camp, campers first. So what can we do in this minute of this hour on this day to put campers first? How can we make sure that they are feeling good about the outdoors, in their living unit, with the staff? You know, the food, the showers, whatever. What can we do to make sure that these campers, you know, are having the best experience possible? It all starts with our staff.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about summer camp this hour and hearing some audio from Camp WAPSE, a YMCA camp in eastern Iowa, celebrating its centennial this year. We're going to go out with listening to Max sing Carl's song.
Smiling, nervous eyes that shine for a while. Then a counselor lends a hand and says, stick with me and I'll be your friend. Like a fresh new flower that blooms in the sun, new child's time at camp has begun. There's so much to see and do, and glad I'm here to help them through. Give them water and wipe their tears, and hold them tight to ease their fears. In a world sometimes that doesn't seem to care, I thank the Lord for camp and people who care. Celebrate what's been done, look ahead for what's to come. Memories of days gone by, promises to you and I. We stay true and teach what we know, we might one day just help a child to grow. So much to solve too fast for boys and girls and even the staff. Final fires and closing songs. Well, rest assured it won't be long till again we see that first day smile and nervous eyes that shine for a while. Then a counselor lends a hand and says, stick with me and I'll be your friend. Celebrate what's been done, look ahead for what's to come. Memories of days gone by, promises to you and I. If we stay true and teach what we know, we will one day just help a child to grow.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about summer camp, sleepaway camp, a profound experience for many, many young people and the people who work at camp throughout the summer. We'd love to hear about your experience, what you think camp means to you. give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're focusing on Camp Wapsie this hour. Camp Wapsie is a YMCA camp affiliated with the Cedar Rapids YMCA, and it is celebrating its centennial this year, celebrated all summer long. And with me is Drew Demery. He is the camp director. And Drew, we were talking about, you know, setting those expectations, your counselors having an opportunity to really connect with the different students in their care, the campers in their care. Let's talk about some of the things you do at camp, because tradition is very important, and there's definitely a routine to a week at camp. So give me kind of a rundown. What do you do for the first couple of days?
Oh, my goodness. It is a jam-packed schedule. And we talk a lot about traditions and routine during our staff training that we do for 10 days before the kids get there. And we also talk about the schedule. So children get in there Sunday afternoon. Our check-in line moves relatively quick. It is an intimidating line when you first get there, but it goes quickly. Campers get checked in with their cabins, meet their counselors and their cabin mates. And then from there, it's off to the races, getting to know one another, doing the swim check and taking a tour of camp. They get to make a pizza the first night. And then we move into an all-camp game. We'll do an evening swim. And what's really great is those expectation campfires that they do, where the counselors go to a really cool location with their campers, have a campfire ready for them, and they talk about who they are and what they want to get out of that week as a group. They set some of those goals. That goal setting is a pretty important part of the week that gives us a direction. You know, it's not just recess for 6 days, but it's a life-changing experience. And that starts Sunday night by saying, okay, what are we going to do this week? We have a goal of, you know, some personal growth, whatever it is. It gives us a direction forward. And then from there, Monday morning, the kids are still very energetic. At 6:30 a.m., we start our early bird activities where they can go pet the horses or catch some frogs down at the backwaters, you know, breakfast, and then morning activities. Camp Wapsie is really unique with our morning activities because it's free choice. They don't even sign up for activities. We just have staff at activities and then some other staff roving around, making sure that people are where they're at, doing the things that they should be doing. But it's total autonomy for the kids. They can go to archery for 10 minutes and then maybe go up to the climbing tower, make some new friends up there, and then wrap it up at arts and crafts. That's as a camp director, that makes me really nervous. But once again, it comes down to our staff. They're just great staff, where they're responsible and they focus on the kids, so that that's how we keep the kids safe during that time. After that, we do one of three swims at 11:30 in the morning. Then we hit up lunch, and then it's a bob time, body on bed time. So that's our rest hour. Then we'll do an all camp game after that, another swim time, dinner, maybe another all camp activity or a campfire that evening. And then our counselors tell taps before the kids go to bed, which is a great moment where our staff get to share some of their creativity and tell a cool story, and the kids drift off to sleep, and that's a day at Camp Wapsie.
All right. There are activities that you do every week at Camp Wapsie, and I'm curious about, I think the kids just accept, this is what we do on Tuesdays, this is what we do on Thursdays, but I'm curious about the purpose behind some of these things. And maybe they've been going on for so long, you don't know the purpose behind some of these things. But let's talk about the dance. You have a dance at camp, which I'm sure, I mean, I think we think about that as a traditional summer camp thing to do. Although as parents, we may be like, what? Why are our kids going to a dance at summer camp now? What do you feel like the purpose is of the camp dance?
It's celebration. You get there with, it's an all camp dance where it's not just your cabin, but it's an all camp dance where you go and you celebrate the week. You really hype it up. The counselors are dancing with the kids, and you know, we don't do a lot of slow songs, anything like that. It's a big celebration of the week. And then we bring it back down with our wish stick campfire where we can really reflect on the week after that. The dance is all about celebration. And having kind of that last hoorah with the friends that you made throughout the week. And once again, the counselors get really into it. And we've got some songs that we play year after year, you know, decade after decade.
There's a game that you play called Mission Impossible. And just explain this game to me a little bit.
Well, it's a game that we play on Friday. Dunna. And, oh, man, it is one of the best camp traditions that we have. Children get in small groups, two or three friends. They run around camp, try to find secret stations and do tasks. Because if they complete all the tasks and ring the official bell ringing, then they get some major awards.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about these, what they can win.
Well, our program director, Mr. Nicholas Lee Pfeiffer, will dig up the tower. He'll put it in your backyard. somebody this year said that they would give away the right of naming their firstborn child. You know, luckily, nobody has ever won Mission Impossible. But we do have weekly Wopsy Wieners where the children who get the most stations, they get some cool awards and some recognition. But you got to watch out for the Biffers now, because the Biffers are the most athletic staff out there, and they're running around and they're trying to tag you. If you get tagged, you got to sit down, you got to yell for a medic. A medic comes along, gives you a piece of tape, they heal you, and you're back on your way looking for those stations.
It strikes me as kind of amazing how much the kids love this game that is unwinnable. Is that part of the joy of the game, that
now,
no one,
Charity,
can win it?
It's not unwinnable. I've seen children get all the stations, and then they get biffed right as they're getting close to that bell ringing. I've seen it come so close. It is not unwinnable, but you're right, it's very difficult.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we asked two of the camp counselors, Maxwell Meyer and Sammy Thurm, to share some of their thoughts from the week with us. And we also asked them to talk about the challenges they faced and the triumphs they enjoyed over the week. So let's hear what they have to share.
So I'm going to go through the week for one of my campers. He is 6 years old, and he came to camp with his brother. And this is his first time ever having been away from his parents for an extended period of time. So when this boy got here on Sunday, he came up and he was very quiet. He was holding his parents' hands, he was standing with his brother, and he was very timid. This is something that happens a lot at camp, even with older boys, even older girls, especially for those who it's been the first time away. They're very timid, and counselors are great at putting out a lot of energy right away, because that is what kids need. So on Monday, my six-year-old camper, who came to camp with his brother, started to feel a little homesick. And I think it was triggered by him having to leave his brother. His brother's a bit older and had to go to another cabin, and he did not want to leave his brother, and he started screaming. Eventually, we separated them. He went inside of the teepee and started changing into his pajamas, and then he was good. Distracting kids is always great.
So today is Tuesday, which is generally more of a relaxed day, I would say. After my lifeguard shift at noon swim, I headed out for my day off. Once I got back, I immediately noticed a different vibe from our cabin, though. I could tell they were getting really comfortable with each other and just generally more in their element here at camp. I did notice one girl was feeling a bit homesick, and so I reached out to her about what was going on and how she was feeling, and we chatted and we decided that we'd join the group to play some games and see if that'd make her feel a bit better. And at that point, we just did some fun circle games, get to know you games.
Wednesday at camp. It is the middle of the week, and it tends to always be the sort of climax. Wednesday is either the day that it all starts to turn around, but it's also, slightly more consistently, the day that it all starts to fall apart. But sometimes these can be linked. Sometimes the falling apart is what leads to what needs to happen in order for things to change. So, on Wednesday, my little six-year-old had what I would classify as the bad climax of his week. He became very, very, very upset after having to leave his brother one time and started to really panic. And we got them separated, and then he laid down on the ground. And he was there for a while. And sometimes we can just assume a role of being present and being very patient. And eventually, after several minutes of screaming and crying, it was over. And right after that moment, and I don't think this is a coincidence, my little six-year-old started to become more verbal and started to want to hold my hand and my co-counselor's hands instead of constantly going with his brother. We had more time with our village later that night, and he didn't see his brother at all until the next morning. And it was all okay.
Okay, so today is Wednesday. Two of my campers signed up to sing at the talent show Thursday, and one of my campers signed up, but she has super, super bad stage fright. And so I was so proud to see her step out of her comfort zone, and I will definitely update you tomorrow on how the talent show went and how she handled that situation. I'm super excited. Wednesday in general, though, is super fun, and it's a really special day of the week because typically the two oldest cabins, cabins 12 and 6, get to canoe down the Wapsipinicon River and spend the night at a campsite in Pinnacon Ridge Park. Some of the campers were a little sad because we paired them together in certain canoes to help them branch out and meet new friends. So instead of picking their partners, we picked them for them. But honestly, by the end of the trip, they seemed to be thankful that we did that, and they really seemed to be getting along with more people than just the friends they came with. When we got to Pinnacon, we cooked hamburgers, and I chatted with a camper that was still feeling a bit homesick. The same one that was feeling homesick yesterday. And she had told me she was having a lot better of a time, though, and that although she's missing home, she also was having fun with us, so that was good.
And the next morning, he was very excited to see his brother, and his brother. Anyone would be very lucky to have a brother, an older brother who cared about them as much as this boy's did. He was very excited to see him, and he did, and they spent time together. And then, as soon as they knew that their time was up, my little six-year-old came running back and wanted to tell me all about it. It was a very great moment for me, and I hope for him. And I started to see a lot of creative energy come out with him, and I saw him start to interact more meaningfully with the other kids in the village. He had been withdrawn until then, but something about having a large, large freak out and then just sort of stepping back for a while gave him the ability to really change the way that he viewed things. And I think he began to feel, even if he didn't express this verbally, included in the village as a peer, and started to view his counselors as what we're there for, which is we're there for him. And he really needed a parent figure, and we were able to do that.
Okay, today is Thursday here at Wapsi, and today more than ever, the kids are so close. One girl came up to me and told me they feel like family already and that this week has brought them amazing friends, and that just absolutely warmed my heart to hear that. My homesick camper from yesterday and the day before is feeling fine now and having so much fun with the cabin that she doesn't even have time to be homesick, which is so amazing to see, and like watching her progress throughout the week and become more social, kind of step out of her shell, has been awesome. And we also had the talent show tonight. I was a little nervous that my camper with stage fright may not want to be performed, but I called her up as our closing act, and she absolutely killed it. It was such a cool progression to watch her throughout the week and then see her completely step out of her comfort zone and sing as well as play the ukulele for all of camp. I really enjoyed that. It was probably my favorite part of the day.
We always love to say that we could never learn as much in school about others and about the way we should live our lives than we do at camp. And it's totally true. It's not cliched even. Camp teaches how to interact with others, and you're able to see that in real time.
Thoughts from Maxwell Meyer and Sammy Thurm, two counselors at Camp Wapsie, a YMCA camp in eastern Iowa. We'll hear more from them as the hour goes on. And with me, Drew Demery, summer camp director at Camp Wapsie. You are welcome to join us as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And we have an email from Shanna who says, my son and daughter just finished their second year at Camp Quest, which is a small secular overnight camp. As a parent, one of my greatest moments came at the end of their first year at camp. My son was the youngest camper, age 7, very introverted. During the slideshow, every time his picture came up on the screen, the older campers cheered and clapped for him. You could see him beaming. It was so gratifying to see him part of something larger than our family and to be embraced by the older kids and counselors. I was crying tears of joy. It was truly life-changing. And Drew, we were listening to especially Max talking about a very homesick six-year-old, which I think is it's a parent's worst nightmare that you send your child to camp and then they're miserable because they're not with you and you can't talk to your kids. You don't get phone calls home. You can't check in on them. It's a difficult experience for parents. I'm speaking from experience. Why do you think it's important to not have that contact with home during the week?
Well, it builds life skills. It builds resilience. You know, we're seeing more and more children that are missing some of that grit in life, some of that resilience, that perseverance. And we learn that at camp. We learn to overcome adversity and have support from new friends and make new connections and not just rely on our parents and old friends. But we can overcome that adversity by forging new connections. That's what camp is all about. You know, archery is cool. The tower is cool. But what's even cooler is that personal growth, is that meaningful experience that comes from overcoming challenges, either individually or as a group. That truly is the meaningful experience.
And from your observations, most of the time, do kids get past that homesick moment?
Yeah, they do. They really do. They find something. Every camp offers something that a child's going to be into. They might not know it on Monday or Tuesday or maybe even Wednesday, but by Thursday they go, oh, stage night? That's for me. I got it. That's the place where I can really shine.
We're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We are talking about the experience of summer camp this hour and taking sort of a deep dive into YMCA Camp Wapsie in eastern Iowa. Drew Demery, summer camp director there, is with me. This is Talk of Iowa.
You can make them real. Your love, your dreams bloom like daisies in the sun. May you always have stars in your...
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the experience of summer camp, sleepaway camp, to be specific. And you are welcome to join the conversation with your thoughts on your experiences or your kids' experiences at sleepaway camp. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this hour is Drew Demery. He is the summer camp director at YMCA Camp Wapsie in eastern Iowa, celebrating its centennial this year. And we've also been hearing from two of the camp counselors, Maxwell Meyer and Sammy Thurm. And we heard Max saying earlier that many current counselors are former campers, and that experience at camp is also often helpful in preparing them to be counselors. And Max talked a little bit about that.
I was your classic introvert camper. Very secluded, sometimes wanted to be alone, and was definitely okay with it most of the time. I didn't need the attention from the counselors. I was never homesick. I loved being here, but it was just because it was a place where I could think and I could involve myself gradually at my own pace. Camp offers an excellent independence. And as I became an older camper, I learned more of the value of coming to camp for the people rather than just the space that it allowed me. And my very first year that I made meaningful relationships was when I was a ranger camper, which are usually 8th and 9th graders. and one of my best friends ever I met as a ranger. Today we're on staff together, and she's one of my closest friends. And that was the year that I really learned that it was time for me to change a little bit at camp. And that year inspired me to apply for the LIT program, the Leader in Training program. And boy, those 3 weeks that summer were probably the most important 3 weeks of my life until every year since then. But those 3 weeks changed me so much socially, going from the camper who was introverted to a person who could keep an eye out for those kids because I understood them a little bit better. I love all of my extrovert friends. I love all of my introvert friends. But the extroverted ones who have always had confidence can't always quite understand what it feels like to not have confidence. And so I offered what I thought was a really great perspective. And I think people saw that. Now, I still wasn't there socially, still awkward with people my own age, still trying to get there with younger kids. But for the very first time, I understood what it meant to be looking out for people who were like you. And the next year, I was a counselor in training, and now I've been on staff for 2 years as a counselor. And while I still am very much able to look out for those people who are introverts, as I talked about earlier, I find myself assuming all sorts of roles. And the most valuable thing that I've ever learned at camp is the value of putting yourself out there, because it's those spontaneous little moments that the kids remember. And if you can encourage them, give them the creative energy, and give them the support and validation that they need, then they can start to create the spontaneous moments themselves. I think it's especially valuable to teach boys that it's okay to put yourselves out there. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to have fun in ways that might make other people roll their eyes or wonder, what's he doing? But not caring about others' perceptions of you has become really important to me. And I think that I've tried all of these years to try to instill that in my campers, that it's okay. People who are watching them are gonna approve of them. And it's those weird moments where you show that you really are confident and that you don't need to be cool.
Again, camp counselor Maxwell Meyer. And we have an email that also shares a similar idea. This is from Ellen. She says, I attended Camp Hanashaw, a campfire camp near Boone, where some of my fondest memories of childhood occurred. When my kids were old enough, they went to Hanashaw for many years, including my daughter joined the staff. One of the things I liked best about camp was that it allowed my kids to be their authentic selves. We are so often trapped in our everyday roles in our families or school, and camp frees children to explore who they might be. And that really echoes what Max was just saying. And is that something that you feel you can really facilitate at camp? I mean, how does that happen, that kids feel comfortable enough to truly be themselves at camp in a way that they maybe don't feel anywhere else in their lives?
Yeah, we can facilitate that. And we do that by leading by example, by people like Max, putting themselves out there. Max is, he is an introvert, but he also has these really spontaneous, amazing moments where you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. That kid's got confidence. And so we lead by example, and then, my goodness, when we see those opportunities for kids to take something on, or when they did take something on, we're there to say, that was awesome. What you did right there was so cool. That's called confidence. That's something that we absolutely love here at Camp WAPSE. We give a lot of that specific praise in the moment. We don't wait, you know, a day or two and come back to it and say, yeah, that was cool what you did over there. No, we are on the ball in that moment, letting them know that we just love what they did. And that's going to build those skills. They're going to realize that's exactly what I should be doing in life to get more love.
And they seem to be so much more comfortable communicating their feelings to each other at camp and hopefully after camp as well. So, I mean, is that something that you try to get your counselors to facilitate as well, getting kids to talk about their emotions?
Yeah, sure. Especially on the girls' end of camp. They do some really cool evening traditions where they talk about issues in their life. You know, these issues don't just stop when you enter into camp and you're in the camp bubble. No, people are still self-conscious there, and sometimes they still feel bullied, or they don't have you know, just that gusto that we want them to have. So we talk about that. The staff talk about that and say, well, let's tackle that this week. I'm here to support you. If you need anything, I'm here for you. And then we're actively there for them. We're not retroactive at camp with anything. We're proactive. We're on the ball. And that's not just Camp Wapsie. That's, you know, camps across the board. The good camps have good staff that are there, proactive, positive, and really specific with that praise.
Let's go to the phones. I should mention, Ellen wants to recognize that Camp Hanashaw is also starting their centennial celebration their centennial celebration. So
yes.
Happy 100 years to Camp Hanashaw as well. Heather is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to share?
Well, I want to say hi to Drew. Hi, Drew. It's Heather Bright.
Hi, Heather.
I felt like I needed to call in because I was sitting here with my husband, actually. Sent me a text telling me to tune in because I wasn't listening. And I started going to Camp Wapsie in 1979. I was a camper there for 8-9 years, something like that. And then I was on staff for many years. And I have been the one who has facilitated 4 of the 5 YMCA Camp Wapsie alumni staff reunions. The alumni staff are very actively involved with Camp Wapsie on a very regular basis still. And I also met my husband there, and we send all 3 of our kids there every summer. And my husband's on the board of the Y as well as the advisory board for Camp Wapsie. So we're a little bit a part of the cult of Camp Wapsie.
So it's just continued. What do you think made it so special to you?
Camp Wapsie. And camping in general, but, you know, my only experience really is with Wapsie. Camps allow you the freedom to be you. And they also provide, like many of your other people who've been on the show have said, they provide you an opportunity to be you or maybe discover new yous within yourself. You know, the staff are highly trained. They're always, you know, cutting edge in learning new technique and procedure with it. I know I'm sounding very technical about it, but I mean, as a parent of someone who now sends children there, those things are important to me. I want to know that you know, the staff are well-trained and that they know what they're doing, not just that they're cool, but not just that they're cool or that the kids enjoy them, but that they actually are not just CPR and first aid, they actually are prepared to deal with kids and provide them with a good time as well as an enriched environment that you know, promotes self-esteem and lots of things. I mean, my kids always come home from camp like, I don't know, better kids a little bit, you know, because they're forced to think on their own. They get these opportunities like during the week, every morning, there's open activities, and the kids get to openly choose where they want to go all morning long. And that's amazing. You know, what kind of opportunity do children really have today to do something like that, to have the chance to go, I want to go to the store, and then I want to go down to the docks, and I want to canoe for an hour. But then after that, I want to go to arts and crafts, and I want to make a shirt. And that all of these activities are kid-oriented. You know, most of their worlds, their activities are not always kid-oriented. I have to go to this daycare. I have to go to that meeting with my mom. Or I have to, you know, they're always getting structured around. It's like this perfect little utopian environment for children.
Oh, Heather, what a great observation. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Heather.
You're welcome. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I often find that when my kids from home come home, of course, they're camp sick, you know, for weeks after they get home from camp. And I think, I guess they'd rather live feral in the woods with, with teenagers in charge of them. But that's a wonderful way to explain it, that Heather was saying, that it's like it's a microcosm, their own independent world.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about diversity at camp. When I visited Camp Wapsie specifically, it's not visually a particularly diverse crowd, and also paying the fees to go to camp, this is a privilege. It's not a cheap experience for kids. Is that something that concerns you at Wapsie, that this isn't an experience that every kid has a chance to be a part of?
Yeah. We have great efforts with our annual support campaign. We raise over $50,000 each year that goes just towards scholarships. So we're making strides there for kids that can't afford it. They can get up to like 70% scholarship. You know, there is some investment there still. We're constantly saying if a child wants to come to camp, we want to do everything that we can to get them to camp. If they need a sleeping bag, we'll get them a sleeping bag. If they need funds to come to camp or some store money, we want to make that happen. And while the Y is a nonprofit, we're going to do everything that we can to get more kids to camp that want to come to camp. That's what we can do at the moment.
Thinking not just of socioeconomic diversity, but of ethnic, racial diversity as well. Do you have efforts to reach out to kids that may not think camp is for them?
Yeah, sure. We're always looking to hire staff, especially. It starts with staff and having a good diverse staff, because then kids will see, oh yeah, well, I can do this too. And we go to a lot of recruiting events around Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Waterloo. We're always looking for kids that want to come to camp. We want to get them to camp.
Do you feel, you've only been at WOTC for 2 years. Do you feel like you're making headway?
We are, yep. We also have international counselors that can bring a broader perspective to camp. We're making headway. And they're good efforts, and we're going to continue to strive for great efforts. We're always looking for that perfect summer, and that comes with diversity.
Now, we have just a few minutes left, and we're going to listen to some sound from the Wish Stick fire here in just a moment. This is sort of the culmination of camp. This is the last night. The kids get picked up on Saturday morning. This is what happens last on Friday night. Tell me a little bit quickly about the Wish Stick fire.
Oh, my goodness. It's an emotional moment where we make wishes on sticks, and we toss them into the fire, and those wishes and those ashes live at camp forever. Week after week, we're putting those ashes into the campfire so that we're always a part of camp. Staff and kids, directors, decade after decade, we're doing this. And it's definitely one of those big traditions.
Well, let's listen.
I hope everyone stays safe and has a good school year. I hope that the entire cabin stays in touch.
We hope that Max and Elizabeth have an amazing marriage and life together.
This oar represents not us just being cabin, but us being brothers. And we fought together, stood together, and even laughed together. My wish is that all of us come back here and talk about how our lives have been going.
My wish is that all LITs, CITs, and staff get in so they can inspire other kids like they've inspired me.
Cabin 12 wishes that everybody stays in touch and that we all go to camp together next summer.
Oh, okay.
Cabin 12 wishes for love, because if it weren't for love, none of us would be here.
So just some of the kids' wishes at that final Wish Stick fire. Always tears at the Wish Stick fire, right, Drew?
Always a few tears.
A few. I think that may be an understatement.
I think it may be.
What do you think makes a camp culture successful enough to last for 100 years?
Putting campers first. Yeah. We try to live that every day. And being led by our values as well. We've got values that anybody can get behind. We're not a specific sports camp or a religious camp. We're there to build life skills. So we teach respect, honesty, caring, and responsibility. Anybody can get behind those values. And that's what's proven to be successful for us for 100 years. We're safe, we're kind, and we have fun. I'm constantly telling staff that if you can be safe, if you can be kind, if you can have fun, you're going to have a great summer. By and large, meet those criteria every hour of every day.
What do you want kids to take home with them when they leave camp completely dirty and exhausted?
I want them to take those life skills that they've gained at camp outside of camp. That camp bubble should be eliminated on their way home, where the courage that they've gained, the compassion that they've learned, doesn't just live on our 172 acres. It lives out there in the world, constantly asking children to go back into their community and be vessels of positivity and change and compassion and love. That's what we want kids to go home with, is to create a better tomorrow and another generation of just compassionate people.
Well, Drew Demery, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, Charity. It's been a pleasure.
Drew Demery is the director of the YMCA Camp Wapsie, celebrating its centennial this summer. And of course, we know that there are great camps all over the state of Iowa. It was lovely to hear some of the sounds and voices of the people affiliated with Camp Wapsie today as the summer winds down. Talk of Iowa is produced at Iowa Public Radio. The program today was produced by Katherine Perkins. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. You can get in touch with us anytime. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter @Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.